Today, the title of my sermon is Shift Enter. Thank you very much, Elaine. How many of you know what is the command of this in the keyboard? Y'all don't use keyboard now, you just type, right? Well, if you type enter, it goes to a new paragraph. But if you go Shift Enter, it breaks the line and it goes to the next line. That's a break, right? Now, I think one of the things that we really need as we go to 2024, we need to have a radical shift in how we live our life. And we need to enter into the presence of God. I think Pastor has been sharing for the past few weeks on a vision, and he's been sharing on the presence of God and how we worship Him. So this week, today, you know, I just want to continue on from where all these things, where Pastor stopped last week. So shall we all just go straight into the Word of God in the book of Joshua chapter 3? Okay, Joshua chapter 3. Okay, all right. We'll read from verse 1 to 5 and then verse 14 to 17. It says here, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Now let's jump to verse 14. All right. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Why don't we go to the Lord and pray? Father, we thank you for today as we can gather together to worship you in unity as a body of Christ. Lord, today we pray, speak to us, God. We want to hear your voice and not the voice of man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me give you some context. What happened here? All right. Now, in Joshua chapter 3, right in this part, there were three things that happened. Okay, the first thing was there was a transition of leadership from Moses to Joshua. Moses have passed away, and he has been leading the Israelites from Egypt and all that, and all the way until now, and there is a transition. Now, the second thing here was the Israelites have spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Okay, so that means up to now, this is probably the first time they've seen a river, because for the past 40 years, they have been wandering around living in the desert. Okay? Now, the third thing, this is a new generation that had risen in the desert, in the wilderness. They have never experienced the leaving Egypt, the Exodus. They have never experienced the miracle of parting of the Red Sea. Because God was angry with those people who came out because of their disobedience. Right, Pastor shared just now, obedience is better than a sacrifice. So God said none of them, except for Joshua and Caleb, who will go into the promised land. So basically they were wandering around and they let all those people who came out from Egypt pass on. And then this new generation, they are here now going into the Canaan, the promised land. So basically this was what happened. I don't know about you, but if I were the generation who was born in the desert, born in the wilderness, grew up in the wilderness, this is my very first time seeing a river. I was like, I will probably tell my dad, hey dad, maybe we don't go Canaan land, we just stay here. Fresh river. We have never seen that before. But here they are. But the commandment from God to Joshua was this. It's time for them to send, to cross the river Jordan and go and possess the promised land. So, interestingly, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of Jordan River. You know, it's interesting. The Bible said Joshua rise up early in the morning. You know, I love this. I love how the Bible described Joshua. So often, you know, Joshua was determined. He was prepared. He was ready for God to move. And he was so waiting in anticipation that he woke up early. Guys, how many of us will wake up early and say, God, I can't wait. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to just commune with you. I can't wait to just spend time praying with you. You know, I pray we will all catch what Joshua exhibit here. You know, he rose early in the morning. It indicates his diligence and readiness to follow God's command. Now, the one thing that the Bible mentioned here from the Acacia Grove, or some Bible say Shittim, okay, they were actually, before they were at the riverbank of Jordan, they were at this place called Shittim. Now, if you could see the map, all right, Shittim was there, all the way to the other side of the LED screen, Jordan crossing. All right, now, something terrible actually happened in Shittim. If you look at Numbers 25, what happened was Moses was still around, but the people, when they were in Shittim, they actually intermarried with the Moabites, and they worshipped the Baal of Peor, the idol. God was so angry with them, and 24,000 Israelites died that day. But you know what? God is amazing. Even though that happened, they recommitted themselves, they repented, and they renewed themselves, their commitment to God, and God continued to took them to the Jordan crossing. You know, indeed, the love of God is amazing. Even in Old Testament, He still loved them, that He honors His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them that promised land. You know, a lot of times it is like us. Probably it's like 2023 is like a shit team to you. You know, like, I feel I have failed God. I feel I have done not enough. I have not grown in anything. But you know what? The place of repentance can be a place of renewal for you. Can I encourage you today, as we're on the 21st day of 2024, it's never too late. But I say, God, today I want to recommit myself to you again. You know, so these people, they were all waiting at the riverbank of Jordan. It was a test of faith and patience. We read just now, it was a harvest season and the river was flowing onto its banks. They must be like, oh, what do we do here? It's crazy because there's so much things going on, and this is the first time they're seeing a river perhaps. So, and the amazing thing is in verse 3, when Joshua told the people to give instruction to the people, he said this, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Now, the first thing is this. Joshua knew, he knew this, that the main thing that he needed to do was to follow the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant actually represented the presence of God. You know, if you remember in Exodus, before there was the Ark of God, you know, God actually sent a pillar of light and pillar of wind, cloud by day, and pillar of light by night to actually follow them. So that represented the presence of God. But now, there is the Ark of the Covenant. So that actually represented the presence of God. So Joshua is saying to these people, just fix your eyes, focus on the Ark of the Covenant. When the Levitical priests carry them, move out from the position and follow them. You know what? The Ark is so central in this chapter. Chapter 3 have only 17 verses, but the Ark of the Covenant was mentioned 10 times. You know, I cannot stress how important that is. That means out of 17 chapters, 10 times it was mentioned in 10 different verses. Follow the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the basis of instruction is this. Focus on the Ark. Focus on the presence of God. Church, I want to ask you this question. 2024, does the presence of God guide our path? Are you allowing the presence of God to guide your path? Or are you allowing the things of the world to guide your path? You know, one of the things, I know one of the questions we had last week during the AI, parenting the AI generation talk was, is Singapore education better? Should I go over there? You know, I'm not here to humiliate you. I know who asked this question. But that's the thing. As a parent, we always look for the best university, best school, best town, best neighborhood to stay, and then we move. But hey, I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm saying we should seek the presence of God first. We should focus the presence of God first. You know, that is the basis of it. So often we say, God, we want your presence. We want this blessing. We want this breakthrough. We want this and that. But we never follow the presence of God. It's like a lot of times we cannot expect a God result if we are not following the God's process. So often you say, God, I want this breakthrough. But God is putting you some trials, putting over some trials and some seasons you have to endure. And you say, God, it's too difficult, I give up. So often we don't want the process. We don't want the God process, but we want the God result. And we ask, where is the blessing, God? Why you prosper my cell group member, my cell group leader, but not me? And you ask, I come to City Life for a long time. I never feel the warmth in the church because you never join a life group. I heard an amen there. You say you come to church, but you never encounter God. You never come for encounter night. Oh. So tomorrow, can we pack this place like tonight? So host, please write down all the names here and a phone number. We want the result, but we don't want the process. You ask anyone who has got a breakthrough in their career, the process they go through. We only see the outward, the glamour part. Oh, that guy bought a new Tesla Model 3. He just moved into the light. Maybe he's Arthur, I don't know. But we never know what was the process behind it. You know what, church, friends? When God wants to give us something, bring us to somewhere, He will bring us through a process. You think God can just, I mean, God can't just transport them or teleport them from Shittim straight to Canaan land? He can. Why the hassle of crossing River Jordan and then camp at Gilgal, and after that you got a Jericho wall? What's the point? So mafan. Might as well they sleep in the Jordan River bank. The next morning they wake up, the angels has miraculously transported them to Canaan land. God can do that. But the result will not be different because God wanted them to experience the process. God wants them to experience His love, His glory. And all that will be shown when they go through the process. So church, I just want to encourage you, friends, this year, you know, don't take any shortcuts. Don't take any shortcuts. Let's go for this. If God has... Don't worry. You know, that's why one of the things that Jesus never mentioned in the New Testament is this. Jesus never promised us happiness. You look into the Bible, Jesus never said, come unto me and I will give you happiness. No. Jesus only promised us peace. That means if the process that you're going through is going to be tough, it's going to be hard, don't worry. Jesus will give us peace. That's the only thing that we should look for. Now, the interesting thing is this. Joshua didn't send his army of cops or engineers first to cross the Jordan River. He knew this was not a spiritual problem, but this is something else. You know, Joshua understood that this was a matter of divine intervention, not one of human construction. So often, when we face something in our life, we forget about how God can intervene. And let me just think what we can construct first. To be honest, as I was reading through this, if I'm Joshua, I will first organize a meeting between the engineers. Okay, come. All engineers, come. I also wonder how they learn because they grow in wilderness, right? So there's nothing for them to build. What is the fastest way you can build a bridge across Jordan? I will probably do that. That's the problem with us. You know, we wanted to see what we can do. But Joshua was at the riverbank of Jordan. He has a decision to make. He knew this was something that he needed the intervention of God. And that's why it's interesting, right? A lot of time it is not just about what we can do, what we are capable, what we have experienced. It's about how we can depend on God. In spite of all that thing, allowing God to work through us, to have that God process through us, that we can be able to go through that. At the end of it, God will be glorified in our life. You know, we often want the glory, but we don't want that process. You know, so often that's why we thought, maybe this week, let's try to love more lah. You know, when I see beggar, I try to give the beggars a bit of money, and I need a bit of patience driving in Penang, not easy, you know. Maybe I try to have a... You know, the thing is this, it is called the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of my effort. That means we need to partner with the Holy Spirit so that we can yield those fruits. If it's entirely all that we got to do, what has the Holy Spirit role in that? There's no partnership. It is all about my effort, my capability. Paul might as well say, these are the fruits of my effort, love, peace, joy. Because you don't need God to generate all that stuff. You know, I told my life group member this before. You know, there are two types of people. One, he will do everything and leave a small room for God. And you know how you always sing, make room for God. Okay, so I make a little room for God. God, this small room, you move. The rest, I do everything. On the far extreme, you know, we have people who don't do anything. I just pray. God, you do everything, I pray. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I pray. I encounter night, I come for every month, I pray. No, you know what? God needed a balance. You know, we need to do our part. And we need to allow God to move. And through that, you know, we will yield the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And I love what Joshua said this. When you see the Levitical priests carry the Ark of Covenant, he said this, move out from your position and follow them, since you have never traveled this way before. You know what, church? So often, the promises of God, it's often in a new direction. It's often in a direction that we are totally going differently. But the problem is this, so often we are so rooted until we resist the call to move. I like this photo. You know, you are so rooted until your shoes grow roots. You know what? We are so rooted until when God said, go here, go do this, go. We just say, no, God, I'm just comfortable. But you know what? Nothing will happen until you change your direction and you follow Him. Because Joshua said, this is something that you have never traveled before. Move out and follow. How many of us here have lived through 2024? None. Nobody has the ability to time travel. If you have not gone through this way before, would you allow God to lead you? Would you allow the presence of God to lead your way, to lead your life? The only question is this. Would you respond yes to Joshua saying, move out from your position and follow? I don't know about you. Some of us maybe are so comfortable, even our roots grow in the place that we sit on church. But it's time. It's time for us to move. It's time for us to move out. It's time for us to move to obey the commandment of God. You know, and that is one interesting thing. Now, I love what Joshua continued to say this. He said, follow the ark, but at a distance. Okay? So the distance was about, in meters, about 900 meters. Okay? Now, I need to know, in the Old Testament, the covenant of the Ark of the Covenant is something very holy, sacred. All right, so nobody was allowed to touch the ark. And in fact, only the Levitical priests are allowed to carry and transport them. All right, if you remember, there was a story when David was bringing the ark back to the temple. Somebody accidentally touched it and God struck him dead. You know, so it was a matter of reverence and holiness. Okay, now, but one other thing is this, as I read this, What caught me, and what I got this revelation. You got to follow the Ark of Covenant from afar. One thing is so that everybody can see. But one other thing is this. It's so that you follow the pace that the Ark of the Covenant set. You know what? So many of us, I know I'm guilty of that. We are so kanjong that we want to step ahead, way ahead of God's timing. Imagine if, I know if I'm there, I will ask, oi, Levitical priest, go faster, can or not? Or worse, I could probably just overtake them. I show you the way, like it was too slow. If I were to overtook them, I will miss the miracle. That's the problem with some of us here. You need to pace yourself with God's timing. You need to do that. You know, timing is everything, especially God's timing. You cannot miss God's timing. We've read the Bible. God has instructed when the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of Covenant step onto the river will stop flowing. Imagine what will happen if you were to go ahead of them. You will get drowned. You will miss out the miracle. You know, timing is everything, especially God's timing. I want to tell you, I'm totally guilty of that. I want to confess this to you all. 2018, April 1st, when we moved to Penang, after staying for a few months, the first thing I told my wife this, I don't know how they all can stay in Penang for so long. Everything is so slow. Because I cannot take it. It was so frustrating that we need to go to some cities elsewhere so that I can enjoy the vibrance, the pace. But I guess now I'm all used to it now. So I tell myself this, if I complain Tanjung Tokong to Bayan Lepas is far, I'm localized. Okay? Because back in Penang, you know, a 40-minute drive is, I'm back in KL, 40-minute drive is nothing. But the thing is this, we need to follow God's timing. There's a reason why everything is made beautiful in His time. Correct? I want to show you something. This is something that I discovered when I was doing a Bible study with my kids. Do you guys know the story of creation of God? Yes? Okay, can we show that? Now, day one, what did God create? Light. Correct or not? I thought maybe we should close everything and then do a quiz first, you know. If you pass that, only you can go home. Otherwise, you stay here. Okay, so the second day, God separated waters above and below. So that means sea and sky. Correct? The third day, dry land and plants. Fourth day, sun, moon, and stars. The fifth day, flying and sea creatures. The sixth day, land, animals, and man. Now, the first day when God created the world, right? I mean, other than light, right? If you were to read in Genesis 1, God also said this. And He called the day with light, day, those in darkness, night. Now, I want to ask you something about this. At this time, the sun has not been created yet, right? Now, I want to ask you, in the solar system, the earth orbits around what? The sun. But the problem is the sun was only created on day four. So that means what? We don't have time, we don't have anything. There's no seasons. There's no 1 year, there's no calendar. Wow, interesting, isn't it? Then how? Now, the second thing. God created dry land and plants and vegetation on day three. Tell me, for a plant to live, what does a plant need? Sun. But the sun was only created on day four. How does the photosynthesis process happen? The light, right? So God is trying to say, no, you don't need to depend on my creation when you can create on the creator, the source itself. Because God was sustaining everything. Now, when I began to grab hold of this, I was like, wow, God, you really don't live in the dimension of time. And that's why God has gone ahead first. And God is in the present, past, and future. I mean, you just imagine that. And that's why when we suddenly talk about time. So it's interesting. So parents, if you have kids, do Bible study with them and you have all these kind of things. Okay? Now, and that's why it is interesting that for the Israelites, it is not about just a physical relocation. It's not just about change of address, but it is also about spiritual preparation. The journey into the promised land was as much as about spiritual conquest as it was a physical one. You know, just as the Israelites were waiting there, seeing the riverbank overflow with water, they are waiting in anticipation. So what's going to happen? Oh, you know, is it going to be, I don't know, what's going to happen? So they probably heard about Red Sea, but they have never been through before. You know, you probably read a lot of things in the Bible, but you've probably never experienced it before. But you know what, 2024, God is just saying, hey, follow my presence. And I'm going to allow you to experience so much of what you haven't experienced through Christ. through God, through God. Amen? Can we do that? And then, this is the most beautiful thing, right? And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua said, sanctify. In certain translation, it says, consecrate yourself. Now, you think about that. If I were Joshua, the one thing I will do the night before, I will go to the Levitical priest camp. I will ask all of them to do COVID test first. Hey, make sure you don't have COVID test, huh? I mean, you don't have COVID, because tomorrow you're going to carry the ark. I'll probably ask them, hey, make sure your shoulders are okay, can carry in. No. Joshua wasn't too concerned about the physical preparation. He was concerned more about the consecration, the purification. It's about setting aside what is common. You know, and it's about just focusing on preparing in anticipation for what God is going to do. You know, in sanctifying ourselves, we tune into the Spirit, aligning with God to embrace the wonders revealed through obedience to Him. You know, it is often through obedience to Him. That is the thing about that. That's why it's important. You know, I feel so often, sidetrack a bit, this thing just came to my mind. We always talk about obeying God, like what Pastor shared just now. It's not a transactional thing. We thought we give, then God will give us more. You know, the Bible said, you know, if you will be entrusted with little, then you'll be entrusted with more. Right? I want to tell you, when I was sharing that last week, you know, God prompted me to say this, but I didn't say it. He said, we always will read the Bible verse as, God entrusted us with little, if you are faithful with little, so that we can be entrusted with more. A lot of time, we want to do well with little so that we will be rewarded with more. But you know what? The Word of God says so that you'll be entrusted with more. Perhaps you can see it, but it is not a reward. It is still a responsibility, but a bigger responsibility. But if you want God to really entrust you, you have to change the way how you perceive how God works in your life, how God were to lead you, and how God process in your life will work. You know, so as we sanctify ourselves, as we consecrate ourselves, church, I want to encourage you. There's something really different here. There's something really different here. You know, that we can get ourselves tuned into the Spirit and then just walk with Jesus every day. And I want to tell you, everything along the way, you can totally trust God for every single thing. But a lot of times, the problem is this. We are the one who is standing in the way of God's miracle. If you were to construct a bridge like what I said just now, what God intended for a miracle, you sabotage yourself to do something else. You know, I pray this year, 2024, regardless how it is, you know, some actually say this in the World Economic Forum last week. It says, this generation is probably the closest generation living nearest to World War III. A lot of people say there'll be economic upheaval, there'll be Great Depression 2.0. I don't know, I don't care. But what matters is, I have Jesus with me. Yeah. Amen? To be in the storm, in the boat with Jesus, is more important than to sailing smooth without Jesus in it. Right? I think I've shared this before. So often we pray, God, I pray, let everything be smooth. I say to the Chinese services thing that the word is sun sun li li. You know, I think Chinese New Year got right. What is the saying? I don't know. Iman feng sun, whatever thing, you know. So I tell you, I have a customer who is not, but she's staying in KL. Every week, she will pay for the flights, come to Penang Island to go to Snake Temple every weekend. Without fail. Like LJ like that, lah. But LJ don't go Snake Temple, he comes to City Light. But you know, one day in 2023, the beginning of 2023, she told me this, Isaac, I haven't done enough. God, my God not blessing me. I have to do more this year. I have to buy more. I was like, whoa. It's a very different perspective. For Christians, God, why you never bless me enough? I go to life group, you know, we will blame God. But this is crazy to that tenacity and faithfulness, right? I cannot understand it. But you know what? Again, come back to our walk with God. It's always our obedience that triggers the miraculous. You imagine if the Levitical priest did not obey. Imagine if the Israelites never obeyed. Nothing would have happened. No passing of River Jordan whatsoever. Nothing. Now let's go to verse 14 to 17. Now we read, right? So the people in the Jordan River, they were there. And then the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead. Now, the carrier of the Ark of God is like, we are the carrier of the presence of God. Right? We are the carrier of the presence of God. I want to tell you one of the things, as a carrier of the presence of God, they are always the first one to go. Remember the Bible said they are to go first, touch the river, go to the middle of the riverbed, stand there and wait for everyone to pass. Now, I've roughly checked. During that time, it was estimated there's about 1.2 million Israelites. And I found that it's probably equivalent to the entire state, Penang State's population. So you imagine Pastor Daniel were to bring 1.2 million people, let's say mainland and island people from the island side, walk towards the mainland. What an upheaval task for Joshua. You know, the carrier, the priest, they were the first one to go. They stood there carrying the ark and waited for everyone, and they were the last to leave. They were the last to leave. Now, I want to show you something about the geographical side of these things. Can we have the map? Now, this is what it looks like at the moment. In 2022, I was telling my wife, hey, by 2023, we must really, really, really go for an Israel trip. Otherwise, after that, if we miss it, we probably will never have a chance in our lifetime to go anymore. I think it's coming true, you know? So, and now with all the wars, I really don't know when. Now, I want to show you, this is how it looks like. Now, let's look at the map when it was in the Old Testament. So they were at Shittim, and they were going here, camping at the Jordan crossing. After they crossed the River Jordan, they actually camped at Gilgal, and their next stop will be the Jericho Wall. Now, the Bible said this, all right? The Bible said this, that as the Levitical priest touched the river, God stopped the flow of the river at the city called Adam. All right, so up at Adam, the water will be heaped like a wall, like a dam. And then everything below that will just flow down to the Dead Sea, if you can see the Dead Sea. All right, so now I want to show you the details of the crossing. Let's have the next slide. The distance, how wide is the river? It's 3.2 kilometers. Okay, so I'll check. It's roughly about from church, you walk to Gurney Walk. Okay, not too bad. Later, you all can have lunch there. Just take a walk, and I remember how they crossed River Jordan. Now, the depth of the river is about 120 feet. 120 feet deep. So you imagine, the Levitical priests have to go first, you know, maybe go through the slope and go all the way and stand in the middle of the Jordan River. Now, 120 feet, I checked. There's one thing in Penang that is about 120 feet. It's a statue at Kailoksi. That high. You know, but the Jordan crossing was not just a change of location. It signified a shift in trust, inviting us to enter into a realm where God's love and faithfulness transform every challenge into a testament of His glory. I don't know about you, I feel this year, 2024, we need to have a shift. We need to have a shift of mindset. We need to have a shift of our heart. We need to have a shift of our focus. We need to have a shift of our lifestyle. We need to have a shift in our trust, perhaps. If you're trusting that perhaps it's the worldly finances or your job can give you the security, perhaps on the 21st day of the new year, it's time to make a declaration, to make a shift. God, I will shift my trust to you again. Because God is inviting us to enter into a realm where His love and His faithfulness will transform every challenging situation into His glory. I don't know about you. If 2024 is going to be difficult and tough, I say, Jesus, I'm going to cling closer with you. Because I believe when I come to December, as I look back, I will only see the goodness of God and the glory of God and the love of God manifested in my life. Amen. Can I have the team come up? So today, this morning, don't just pray, God, deliver me from this. You know, so often when we hit a problem, a situation in life, we say, God, too difficult or too tough, deliver me from this. But I think 2024, God wants to deliver you through it, just like the Israelites. And this morning, would you choose to shift your trust back to God? I know we always sing, God, I follow you, I love you, you are my only thing, you are all I need, you're more than enough. But when we come to the decision in our lives, it was never reflected. As we stand on the edge of our own Jordan River, faced with the unknown and the seemingly impossible, I think the story of Joshua and the Israelites beckons us to reflect on God's immense love and faithfulness. God could have gave up when they were at Shittim. God could have said, forget it. I'll raise another generation, a new people that were mine. It's easier, but God went through all the trouble. I want to show you something. Can we go back to the map again? The one with, not this one, yep. If you notice, so they were at the Jordan crossing, Dead Sea is down there where Dominic is squatting at. It's okay. Now, the Bible said God stopped the flow of the river at a city called Adam. I think, you know what, the river of Jordan, it's always synonym like a river of death, because it flows straight into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. Nothing from there flows out, right? And it's just like, wow, God is giving them a way to cross from Shittim to Gilgal and Jericho. And God stopped it all the way at Adam so that the river won't flow. And the one that below there, it will flow down to the Dead Sea. And you know what? And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant were staying in the middle of the Jordan River while the people cross from the one side to the other side. I'm not sure about you if you can see a pattern. That is a picture of a cross. From Adam straight down to the Dead Sea and the people crossing from one side to another. Because we were supposed to be died. We only deserve death for our sin. But God loved us so much that He got His presence to stay in the middle of the river of death so that we could cross from the Jordan River. And what's more beautiful, and there was this city that is having the same name as the first person on earth, Adam. And God dealt right straight where it all began, Adam, all straight to the Dead Sea. If we can't, as I was looking through this, I can only say, God, how great is your love? How great is your love? You know, in the Old Testament, if you notice something, Joshua said, follow from afar. Right? Follow from afar. And you know, everything in the Old Testament is always from afar. Even in the temple, there is the outer court, there is a holy place, and there's a holy of holies. Right? In the Old Testament, none of them could go into the Holy of Holies because they could only linger at the outer court. And even right here, leave 900 meters, don't go near. But you know what? In the Old Testament, that's the theme. You always follow from afar. But in the New Testament, Jesus came and He said, no, you don't have to follow from afar anymore. I want to have that intimacy with you. Today, Jesus is calling. God is just saying, would you focus on the presence of God? Look at the Ark of Covenant. Once it move out from your position and follow. You know, God is inviting all of us. Don't trust on how capable you are, how experienced you are. But Jesus has said, follow me. Let my process get completed in you, and you will get the God result that you've always wanted in your life.